He says, Muad'Dib.
Oh, my God.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-hosts Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. Walker, fresh off the Analyst Combine victory on the TH Fantasy Podcast. Congratulations to Walker, dipping out as soon as somebody asked a question about DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I was, is this a Patreon episode?
No, just say the cuss.
No, I'm not going to cuss.
Then, yeah, it's not a Patreon episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I don't really care. I was going to have sex with my girlfriend.
Woo!
Let's go. So, I needed to get off the podcast.
That's right. All right. So we know how Walker's weekend went. Mike, how are you doing?
Not as good as Walker's. but yeah, not too bad though. I mean, second place. I'm actually writing a book, so I'm pretty thrilled about that.
Let's go.
What's it called? Pride and Prejudice? They already did that one.
Damn it. Damn it, I knew it sounded familiar. It's called The Long Road.
Ooh, okay. The Long Road. Is it like The Road but by Cormac McCarthy, but longer?
It's much longer than that.
Oh,
damn. Wow. Okay.
Same price, longer book. Mike's like, come on.
Hey, let's do it.
Yeah. All righty. So we got a whole mess of free agency to talk about. We're going to do our review, and we're going to try to not make this 16,000 hours long, but we will probably fail. So Walker came up with an ingenious strategy of we're going to name every fantasy position player that changed teams, and we'll decide if it matters and why. If none of us think it matters, we move on. Two guys not in here for whatever reason. Handsome James Garoppolo is a Ram. That he didn't make it on there. And then, three. DPJ is a Lion, and the Pastronaut is a 49er. Let's go, baby.
I also noticed that Russell Wilson wasn't on here, but I guess we kind of already talked about him.
Yeah, we already talked about him. This is like free agents and trades, but because he was cut, he like wasn't on the list.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
I pulled this from Over the Cap, and then I also actually nice. Like had to manually put Hollywood Brown in there. Like Hollywood Brown wasn't listed either. So this list, I thought it was complete. Over the Cap is the best website for this sort of thing, but I guess not. I don't know. So
OTC is still better than SpotTrack.
Well, SpotTrack just copies OTC and then makes it worse.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can hold on. I just got to change my background here to Anthony Davis is the little baby, Nikola Jokic, Domas Sabonis, and Joel Embiid. He's like 2 for 19 against these three guys. He just doesn't win. All right. Let's start with the quarterback position. Actually, no. Scratch that. We're going to go team by team. That's right. That's something we decided right before we started recording. So we're going to go team by team. Notably absent from here, no 49ers additions, no Lions additions. No Colts additions.
They're all just wait and see.
I guess so. So we'll start with the Bears. The Bears who traded the Justin Fields to the Steelers this week. So we'll get to that when we talk about the Steelers. But clearing the deck for Caleb Williams, they got him in trade. Keenan Allen, they got him Gerald Everett, and they got him DeAndre Swift. Who Everett and Swift were both free agents. I guess we'll start here. We'll start with Keenan Allen. Do we care?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Keenan Allen pairs with DJ Moore, pairs with whoever they're going to get at 9. I feel like they could get another guy at 9, although they'll probably go offensive line, but it's a deep wide receiver draft. So
they'll either go offensive line or edge rusher, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like they're not done at receiver, though.
No.
Especially with losing Mooney to the Falcons, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, losing Mooney to the Falcons, they're gonna need that kind of deep threat weapon, and Velus Jones isn't gonna do it.
No, and I don't think Tyler Scott's good enough either.
No. So Walker, why do you think this Keenan Allen trade matters, and do you feel good about him in 2024?
Not as good as he's been. I mean, he's been catching passes from Justin Herbert, and no matter what you think of Caleb Williams as a prospect, I mean, he's going to be a rookie quarterback. He probably won't be immediately as good as Justin Herbert. He'll also have more serious target competition from DJ Moore than he had from all the receivers that weren't named Mike Williams after Williams got hurt. So I think his target share probably takes a somewhat large hit. He'll still be fairly productive, though, because he catches a lot of his targets. He gets open very well. I mean, he's going to be older, so there's an injury risk. But I think his fantasy production will take a hit, and he'll probably, I guess the question is, who do you think scores more fantasy points next year, DJ Moore or Keenan Allen?
I think Keenan Allen, because he'd be the red zone weapon over DJ Moore.
Yeah, sure.
I also think he'll be more the short area target guy, whereas DJ Moore will be more the intermediate area target, and PPR, a catch is worth a lot more. And I was listening to Around the NFL. So Keenan Allen had 108 catches last year. How many games did he play?
12.
13. 108 catches, 1,243 yards, 7 touchdowns in 13 games. Is that good?
He was extremely good. I mean, like I say, I don't think he'll be that good, but I could see still, 85 catches for, a little over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns or something. That's still a really good, productive fantasy receiver. I mean, that's top 18 for sure.
Yeah, I do worry, and Mike, I want you to jump in too. I do worry that something that fantasy analysts tend to do is they're like, well, I like Keenan Allen. I like DJ Moore. I got to grow this offense with Caleb Williams. I like this. I like that. And all of a sudden you've got like DJ Moore and Caleb Williams, both top 14. You've got, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, both top 14. You got Caleb Williams, like somebody will put him at like 9. You've got Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett, both as like top 15 guys. And it's like, no, I mean, the wide receivers of rookie quarterbacks are mostly not supported heavily by their quarterbacks in their first year because they're learning the system. And for all of a sudden a rookie quarterback to come in and, support all these guys, I just don't think it's going to work. Especially with, also DeAndre Swift is going to be getting targets. And I think there's going to be a situation where people get way too over their skis about this Keenan Allen addition. And they're going to, they're going to call the Bears like a top 10 offense. And by they, I mean Waleed.
Definitely Waleed will definitely call him a top 10 offense. Yeah, I think that they're definitely in the top 20. Keenan Allen's going to kill what DJ Moore did last year, and DJ Moore is going to definitely take away from Keenan Allen, especially at 32 years old. And he was injured last year, the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what the injuries sort of do for him or against him, especially at 32 years old. So I see him as a two receiver, and as a second receiver on the team, he can't be any higher than, top 20, somewhere around there, which is not bad, but is not what we're used to seeing with Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I think that if you draft by name, the guys who would draft DJ Moore by name, Keenan Allen by name, are going to set themselves up for problems, because they're still going to be really good, but they're not going to be the top 10 guys that we've grown accustomed to Keenan Allen being, and then DJ Moore became last year. So I think they're going to take away from each other just because, they're not going to let Caleb Williams throw the ball like 650 times. They're going to protect him. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to have a lot of short area passes. They have a lot of dump offs. That's why they got DeAndre Swift and Gerald Everett. And I want to transition into those two guys. Gerald Everett, do we care?
No.
No.
I only care insofar as he's going to split the Cole Kmet targets, and Cole Kmet drops down into the like.
He's down into the blob now.
I'd say he's like lower blob even. Like he and Gerald Everett are going to split like 11 targets a game.
I think you overestimate how involved Daryl Levert's going to be in this offense. I still think Kmet's the starter, but
sure.
I don't think that Kmet is going to get what he got last year, because obviously Daryl Levert's a lot better than Robert Tonyan.
I don't know. Did you see Robert Tonyan drop that pass? That was pretty good. I mean, it's just like Cole Kmet last year had 73, 7, 19, and 6. Like, I see him dropping down to like 6,600 and 4.
Yeah.
And that's
blobby.
That's not a difference making tight end.
No, that's like tight end 15.
Yeah. So, all right. And then DeAndre Swift, do we care?
Yeah.
Well, it all depends on what the, I mean, I want to say yes, but you know, what are they going to do? Is this going to be a three-headed rotation, or is this going to be just DeAndre Swift?
You can't do that.
Right.
It's not going to work.
So do I really think, care about a three-headed rotation? Not really.
Yeah. And I mean, I know some people will say, well, he's 25 years old and he's coming off the best season of his career, and they just signed him to a big expensive contract, so they're going to use him. And it's like, well, yeah, he's going to be the number one running back on the team, but the way they're going to run the backfield, he's probably going to get a little over 50% of the opportunities. And then the other 45% will be split up between Herbert and Johnson. He's probably not going to be the preferred goal line back.
Nope.
He will probably be he's almost certainly the best pass catching option, so you will have that. He'll get a lot more targets than the other two guys, especially Herbert, who's pretty much useless in the passing game. Johnson's okay, but he has no speed, so he can't make big plays happen. Swift's the best running back there, but this is going to be the worst offensive line he's ever run behind in his career. And I doubt he's going to have anything close to the efficiency he had last year, which was pretty hit or miss to begin with. He's going to be my guess is he's probably going to be overdrafted based on what he did this past season. I care, because he's probably going to be a top 30 running back on the season, but I don't even know if he'll be top 20. And at that point you're in running back dead zone territory. I think he's kind of an avoid.
Yeah. I don't see myself drafting him, because I think he's going to go as an RB2, and I see him more as like a JD McKissick plus in this offense, just because, like you said, he's not going to be the goal line back. He's better catching passes. So I think
when the Commanders actually used Antonio Gibson.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That sort of thing. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, that's back end of the top 30 running backs. That's a flex guy. And I don't think I'm going to have him, because people are going to see, again, like you said, they're going to see the name, they're going to see what he did, and they're going to draft him top 24. And I'm just not going to dive in there.
Right. I mean, especially since he's probably going to, you know, he's probably going to get, his ADP is going to be like RB 15, I would guess.
Oh God, really? I guess maybe. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be here. He'll be behind Gibbs, Jacobs, and I'm just doing this by division, but Gibbs and Jacobs, probably not Aaron Jones. I think Swift will go ahead of Jones, because Jones is old.
Yeah.
But that's iffy. Barkley, the Cowboys don't even have a running back right now.
How dare you disrespect Deuce Vaughn like that?
I'm sorry. Sorry to Deuce Vaughn. My apologies.
Deuce.
I mean, I'm not going to keep doing this, because it's not good radio, but it's like I could definitely come up with about a dozen running backs that would be ahead of him in ADP, but after that, I mean, he'll go RB as high as like RB12 in some drafts, and he'll go as low as RB22 in some drafts.
Okay. So let me ask this. We'll move on to the Bengals, and I'll ask you, Zach Moss or DeAndre Swift, who goes first?
Oh, Swift for sure. It's not even close.
Swift for sure. I have a feeling there's going to be people big branding themselves into Zach Moss in the quote unquote Joe Mixon role, which doesn't work or make sense. But they'll probably add a back in the draft. So.
Well, they already have Chase Brown, who's going to eat into his touches.
Oh, yeah, Chase Brown. Never mind. Forget I said anything. All right. So let's talk about the Bengals. They had Mike Gesicki and Zach Moss. Do we care about Mike Gesicki?
No.
I do.
I know.
Only if they don't replace Tyler Boyd, and then I think he has some sneaky PPR flex week slot, you know, as a, like a slot tight end appeal.
I think he's going to be behind Tanner Hudson on the depth chart.
Get out of here. They play two different positions.
I think he's going to have less. I think he will have less targets than Tanner Hudson.
Bullshit. All right. Zach Moss.
Probably score more touchdowns, but 11 less targets.
Yeah. Zach Moss. Do we care?
Kinda.
I'm going to say yes, because isn't he really the only back? Chase Brown, but we saw what Chase Brown did last year.
He's fine. Yeah, Brown's a solid backup. Moss will be the nominal starter. He'll probably get 60% of the opportunities. He's, I don't know, I guess you could call him a decent pass catcher. He doesn't excel in that area. Bengals offensive line's not that good. His efficiency would be around what Mixon's been giving you the last couple of years. So he's going to get like 4 yards a carry. He'll probably won't run for 1,000 yards, but he'll run for more than 800. He'll catch a few passes and he'll score some touchdowns. So, I mean, he's a good, low end RB2, good flex, I feel like.
Okay, Mike, your thoughts?
He had a really good start to the season, but then he kind of fell apart a little bit. Even with Jonathan Taylor there, he didn't look like the same Zach Moss that was there when Taylor was out. So, and then for him to be the primary running back, I don't know. I could see a lot of hit and miss. And that way, he's definitely dead zone running back for me.
Yeah, not super interested in him. I think he's a guy that I'm just going to let somebody else take.
Yeah, this is a classic guy that gets nominated by Jeff in the auction in like the second round.
That does sound like me.
Because you're hoping that somebody wastes like $16 on him.
Yeah, that does sound like me. Speaking of wasting money, we've got some breaking news that is pertinent to the interest of one other person on this podcast.
Hell yeah, it is. I know what you're going to say.
Blake Snell's a giant, baby.
Blake Snell's a giant. Yeah, 2 years. Hell yeah.
2 years, 62. Let's go. Okay.
Didn't everybody know this was happening? It took a while.
It was Blake's. It's been like circling, and it's just nice to finally like get a guy.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. So we don't really care too much about the Bengals. Let's talk about the Bills guys. KJ Hamler, Mac Hollins, Mitchell Trubisky, and Curtis Samuel. I'm going to say we don't care about the first three.
That is correct. Yeah, I don't care at all.
No, all right. There's nothing there.
I only care about Curtis Samuel for one reason. Joe Brady was the OC who maximized Curtis Samuel in Carolina. That one year where he had that weird like 125 touches, a mix of like catches and runs, that was Joe Brady. So if they use him in that role again, I might have interest in him, but like he's like a round 15 pick guy. Like that's it.
I think he'll probably start at receiver for them.
Yeah.
Even if they add somebody in the draft, they'll start Samuel in the slot over Shakir. And if they don't add somebody in the draft or they wait until later and it's not somebody who starts right away, then they'll just start Samuel outside and be creative with how they use him. I think Samuel can return, he can be top 36.
Yeah.
I don't think top 24, but I mean, he's a guy that you can get that it has potential to be in your lineup more weeks than not. And you're probably going to be able to get him for wide receiver 45, wide receiver 50 price. Mm-hmm.
I mean, 50, I was thinking it'd probably be closer to 50, 60, like a little bit deeper than that. Because there's a lot of good receivers out there.
Well, and I think people will value being the number two target in the Bills offense. I know some people will delude themselves into thinking it's Dalton Kincaid.
That's what I was going to say.
But
I started to make a face.
But that's not true. It's going to be one of the receivers. So, yeah, I mean, Samuel's the best bet right now, I would say. He's got more of a track record than Shakir does.
Okay. Mike, do you care about any of these guys? Sounded like you didn't.
No, not really.
Okay. We got, moving on to the Browns, we got Jameis Winston. I don't care.
No, nope. Doesn't matter.
Jerry Jeudy traded from the Broncos to the Browns.
I care because now everybody can finally shut up about Elijah Moore.
Yes.
He's dead.
And everybody can now, you know, everybody can talk about Marvin Mims now.
That's
to
fine.
To quote Shane, talk my Marvin Mims shit.
I'm not tired of Marvin Mims yet.
No, I'm not either.
Plus, Marvin Mims wasn't ballyhooed as like this incredible prospect who has never really done anything.
He had 10 targets in that one game.
Yeah. I mean, like Jeudy,
2 years ago.
But Jeudy, at least what I will say for Jeudy is he at least has a 900 yard receiving season, which is a lot more than Elijah Moore's ever done. So he'll be their number two receiver.
Yeah. I started to write about the guys, the signings trades last week until I started looking and the articles were getting like four views. So I was like, well, I'm not going to waste my time because I'm behind the eight ball on this. So people have already found this information, but I dug up some interesting stuff about Jeudy. Like, I used Fantasy Points data suite to like filter by like air yards and all this stuff. And the areas where Jerry Jeudy works were actually the only areas on the football field that Deshaun Watson was like good at throwing to last year. Like between 10 and 15 yards downfield. And Russell Wilson was terrible at that. So okay. What's that?
I just said, okay. I was surprised.
I just think there's a, I think that there's a decent season in there for Jeudy. I think for Jeudy, it all comes down to where he's being drafted because he's a lot like you were saying about Curtis Samuel. Good chance at top 36, not a good chance at top 24.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I know Mike doesn't care because Mike has never liked Jerry Jeudy. Nope. but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I care enough that to mention it, but I won't have Jeudy in my top 36 receivers. He'll probably sneak in like the top 50, but I mean, he's just like when Elijah Moore finished probably like wide receiver 50 last year or something. So Jeudy will be like slightly better than that.
Yeah, that sounds fine. All right. Anything else with the Browns?
No.
How about, all right, let's go through the Cardinals really fast. Desmond Ridder, Mack Wilson, DJ Dallas. All right, let's move on to the Chargers.
Yeah, it does not matter. None of those guys.
All right, Chargers, Will Disley, Hayden Hurst.
No.
No.
No. Me neither. Gus Bus. Very interesting. Gus Bus is going to get like as many touches as he can physically handle with Jim Harbaugh. Especially because Jim Harbaugh traded every person that could catch a pass that was not bolted down. He got rid of him.
Yep. I think Gus Edwards is going to get a running mate in at pick 69. Nice. I have a feeling that's going to be Blake Corum, and we're going to get, you know, Gus Edwards 250 carries, Blake Corum 200 carries, and they're just going to have like two versions of the same guy who just pounded in the line for 4.5 yards, and Jim Harbaugh has a barely concealed erection on the sideline.
Barely concealed? I don't think he even tries to conceal it.
By the way, Elijah Moore finished 54 in PPR. So I'll say
last year with over 100 targets.
That's so embarrassing. I'll say Jerry Jeudy finishes like wide receiver 42.
Wide receiver. I mean, I think that I'm higher on him than you are, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Okay. Like, I think he's gonna be like 34. So it's not like I'm like super super hyped about Jerry Jeudy. I just think he's very interesting.
Jerry Judy's gonna be on like three of Jeff's redraft benches, you know, because in auctions he'll get him for $1, and he'll draft him in like, you know, for some reason nobody will want him in one draft he's in. So he'll be like, ninth round, I could do some Jerry Jeudy. I could sprinkle a little Jerry Jeudy in there.
That's kind of exactly how it'd go. Like, yeah, I'll take a shot on this. Gotta say.
Well, you know, why not?
Yeah. All right. So Gus Edwards. I think it's gonna be, I think you, Mike, did you talk about Gus Edwards or did I hallucinate that?
No, I did not. The ground and pound guy scored a lot of touchdowns last year. I don't see that returning this year. Definitely going to be, as Walker stated, running back by backfield, just because that's pretty much what Gus Edwards has been his whole career, and that's not going to change in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be a lot like what we saw with the Ravens. I do think, yeah, I think Blake Corum and the Chargers are on a collision course because Jim Harbaugh basically cleared the deck for a running back to have a running offense. And then I think it'll be Gus Edwards and Blake Corum, like Walker said, pounding into the line as many times as they can, just like they did in Baltimore with Greg Roman. So it's like they're just building the same offense that they had in San Francisco, the same offense that Greg Roman and another Harbaugh ran in Baltimore. They're just building the same thing over again.
Yeah, like, they're just like, hey, we're going to put a good quarterback into it this time. Maybe it'll work now.
Yeah, this is why I traded that good quarterback, by the way, is exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess Harbaugh's have had good quarterbacks because Kaepernick was pretty good. And
yeah, he started Lamar's, off good.
And Lamar's better than Herbert, so, I mean.
He has won an MVP. Two,
actually. Two of them, actually. Yes, yeah. That's true.
All right. Chiefs wait, hold time. On. No, okay. Wait. Chargers depth chart at wide receiver.
Josh Palmer.
Uh-huh.
Quentin Johnston.
Uh-huh.
Jalen Guyton?
Nope, he's gone.
No, he's a free agent. Darius Davis.
Yep.
Simi Fehoko?
Correct. Dang, Walker went 4 for 5. Let's go.
Nice. Good job.
Yeah.
Who's the other one?
That's it.
Oh,
it oh, is. You okay. Got, you got, you said, what's his face? Free agent.
Yeah, I said Guyton, but Guyton, he's free
yeah,
agent.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
So they only have 4 receivers.
Yes, correct.
Great. Okay.
And everybody.
Simi Fehoko for the win.
Yeah, Simi Fehoko, baby. And everybody who thinks that they're taking a receiver at 5.
No.
Bless your soul. I mean, you are hope there.
They are either taking Brock Bowers or a tackle.
Yes, correct. They are not going to throw the ball. They're going to throw the ball like 22 times.
They're going to take a receiver on day 2, but they're not taking Malik Nabers, I don't think.
No, they are not. All right. Chargers. I'm sorry, we just did the Chargers. Chiefs. Irv Smith Jr., do we care?
No.
No.
Only if Travis Kelce retires to be Taylor Swift's boyfriend professionally. All right. Hollywood Brown. 1-year deal. Do we care?
Yeah.
What if Marcus Valdes-Scantling was good? Is basically what the role that he's going to play.
Pretty much, yeah. He's going to have a crazy high ADOT because he's just going to be Mr. Downfield and screens. That's it.
Yeah.
It's like... They got
Mr. Pfizer and Mr. Downfield and screens on the same roster?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Marquise Brown has never been a super consistent fantasy performer.
No.
But he's always had the high ceiling, the big weeks. I think on a 1-year deal with with the best passing quarterback he's ever had, he was pretty productive with Lamar. He was decently productive with Kyler when he was healthy. That's gonna be the biggest thing, is he hasn't been healthy lately. But I think he's got talent. He's very fast, and he's going to have an extremely elite level quarterback. So he will have big weeks, but I still think he probably ends up slotting in behind Kelce and Rice in the pecking order.
Yeah, I think so. I've been seeing people talk about how like he's going to be ahead of, like, he's a huge steal to get in drafts because he's going to be ahead of Rice. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've become the guy that will tell people to stop being annoying about Rashee Rice, therefore being annoying myself, but he's good. I'm sorry that you missed on him. I'm sorry that you wanted Justin Watson or Kadarius Toney or whoever the fuck else to be good. But Rashee Rice was the best wide receiver on that team last year, and he is still the best wide receiver on the team. Like, sorry they wanted, you wanted them to go get Brandon Ayuk in a trade or something, which still might happen. Which if that happens, then, you know, everything's off the table. But right now, he's still the best wide receiver in KC.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you guys both talked about it pretty well. Just inconsistent overall. Has great weeks, has some really bad ones. This offense with Rashee Rice, I think Rashee Rice is the number one wide receiver on that team. And Hollywood Brown is just going to be more of a deep threat. I think he'll be a lot more productive than MVS and all the other kind of deep threats that they've had. But it's not going to be anything that's wowing or you know, oh, great, he's on the Chiefs. He's just going to score a hell of a lot more points than he ever has before. He might score more points, but it's not going to be to where it's one of those years where he's going to be, oh, well, now he's a second round pick. No.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be pretty marginal.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he probably has like 55 for 850 and 5.
Yeah, I mean, that's I would give him more touchdowns than that just because
touchdowns aren't sticky, but it's a, you know, I feel like he's a wide receiver 3 option.
Yeah, cuz I was trying to pull up ranks here to see like where we would slot him in. So let's see, we've got I'm trying to find him here. I forgot his name. Marquise Brown right now, wide receiver 44. This is updated because Romeo Ndunze is 30. So Marquise Brown or Cortland Sutton?
I'm going to go Cortland.
Sutton, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Marquise Brown or newest member of the Carolina Panthers, Deontay Johnson.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go Sutton still because I don't trust Bryce
Young. Not Sutton.
Marquise Brown, sorry.
Brown or Johnson.
Oh, Brown or Johnson. I'm going to go Deontay Johnson.
I'm going Deontay.
Deontay. I think so too. But like, here, let me just list the guys ahead of him and behind him by expert consensus ranking. So going from 43 up.
Okay.
So it's Marquise Brown's 44. So JSN's 43, Sutton's 42, Godwin's 41, Deontay's 40, Watson's 39, McLaurin's 38, Nuke is 37, Addison's 36, Kirk is 35.
I feel like these are all out of whack.
Yeah, but I also feel like a lot of those guys do belong ahead of Marquise Brown.
I would put Marquise Brown probably ahead of Christian Watson. But
yeah, I think that that's more a Christian Watson thing than a Marquise Brown thing, though.
I agree. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I could see ranking Marquise Brown inside your top 36, but inside the top 30, I think might be a stretch. I mean, maybe you could justify it, but yeah, I mean, I think he finishes as a boom bust wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I think it's hard to get him inside your top 30 because wide receiver is freaking stacked.
It's
now.
Very deep.
Here's wide receiver 24 through 29. Michael Pittman, Drake London, Keenan Allen, T. Higgins, Devonta Smith, and Cooper Kupp.
This is why I told people if you're in a dynasty draft, you should be drafting one stud receiver and then waiting forever. Because you can get, you know, in dynasty drafts, you can get, you know, somebody like Devonta Smith probably in like the 6th round.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is ridiculous.
Like, we got wild values out in here.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think, you know, it'll die down because, like, Malik Nabers is 18 right now. Ahead of, like, Stephon Diggs. Yeah, he's ahead of Stephon Diggs.
If Malik Nabers goes to, like, Tennessee, there's no way he's going to be a top 18 receiver.
No.
Will Levis needs weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I guess they have Ridley and Hopkins now, so they probably aren't going wide receiver. But, I mean, if he ends up with, the Daniel Jones Drew Lock combination in New York, I don't think he's going to be a top 18 receiver either.
Right.
The places where he's likely to go, he's unlikely to have fantasy value.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he could go to Atlanta.
I mean, Atlanta,
he'd be the number 2 receiver and number 3 target in an offense that's going to run the ball a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
He could go to Chicago, where he'd be the number 3 option at the start of his season. He could go to the Jets, I guess, if he fell to 10, which then he'd be the number 2 receiver.
He'd be, and then his quarterback's going to leave partway through the year to go be the vice president.
Right, for sure.
Yeah.
That won't last.
No, I don't think so either. Okay, anything else about the Chiefs guys?
Also, I've just convinced myself somebody's trading up into the top 8 to get Malik Nabers.
Who would be trading up in the top 8 to get Malik Nabers?
The Colts.
Ooh, Mike, how do you feel about that?
I like that. I'm kind of hoping they go out and get actually Mike Williams, but Yeah, I would be pretty pumped for that.
How about this? Hear me out. Seattle. They run four wide every play.
Oh my God. That'd be crazy.
And just let and bench Geno Smith just because they're gonna let Sam Howell go crazy.
He's throwing 35 touchdowns and 27 picks.
For 6,000 yards and
unbelievable stat, Madden stat line.
And 62 sacks.
Unreal stuff going on in Seattle.
They go
9-8 again.
They're gonna run four verts every single play.
Backyard football.
Oh God. Actual like idea is no. I was gonna say Cincy, but I don't think so. Miami. F it. No, because then you're getting into they have to give up too much to move up into the top eight, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I could see somebody moving up as if that's as low as like, you know, 22, 23 range. Like, it wouldn't, you know, like I could see Dallas going from like 24 to 9.
Ooh.
To get Malik Nabers.
That's a Jerry Jones move too.
I could also see Trent Baalke going up to get Nabers or Adunze, one or the other.
They have so many receivers though.
No, they don't. Not anymore. Ridley's not there anymore.
Yeah, but they signed Gabe Davis.
Yeah, so?
I don't know. That's a lot to spend on receivers. Maybe they should spend on a freaking pair of cutting implements for freaking Trevor Lawrence to cut his freaking hair and he could be a freaking quarter. I don't know. I lost it. All right. Let's talk about the Commanders. Marcus Mariota. I will answer for all three of us. Nobody cares.
Nope.
Yeah.
All right. Austin Eckler.
I don't care.
I don't care now. I might care when draft season comes around.
Man, he's slow now. And I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury. They don't have a quarterback right now, rookie quarterback. You know, maybe they draft Drake May and Drake May, you know, falls in love with Austin Eckler and gives him 80 targets. But I don't know. I feel like you're really hoping here.
Yeah, it is hope. Mike, do you care about Austin Eckler to the Commanders?
It's tough. It depends on how they're going to use him.
I think he's purely a pass catcher.
Yeah, if they're going to use him like Antonio Gibson, then forget about it.
Yeah. I think he's probably not going to get double-digit carries very often. My guess would be it probably ends up being like, if he plays 17 games, which in a smaller role he could, he'll probably finish with like 135 carries and 70 targets. Yeah. So, you know, 190 opportunities or so, probably only going to average like 4.5 yards a touch.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 yards a touch. So he's not going to get to 1,000 scrimmage yards. He's not going to score many touchdowns. He'll probably end up with like 175 fantasy points, which is RB dead zone.
Yeah, I think that's why I said I might be interested in draft season, because if he's going in the 30s.
Yeah,
then I'm listening, because if you get a guy in the 30s who ends up as an RB dead zone guy, like RB dead zone guys like 20 to 30, then right. That's a profit.
Right. If you're picking a bench, you know, in the bench rounds and you get a solid flex out of it, that's still a win. But no, I mean, I think over under, does Eckler finish better or worse than the RB28 he finished this past year?
RB8? No, I think he finished
28.
Push. He finishes exactly 28.
Yeah, push.
Yeah, I think he finishes below 28.
I would say probably that also, like maybe like 32.
Okay. So still in the flex, like still a bench guy, but maybe the guy on your bench, that's the first guy you cut because he's got no upside. He's just kind of.
Cool. Yes. Austin Eckler is the classic Akash meme guy for this year.
when I draft Austin Eckler, running back 30 and he finishes as running back 28.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Dolphins, Jonnu Smith, Jody Fortson.
No.
I do not care. Mike?
No.
All right.
No.
Eagles, Kenny Pickett. I'll answer for all of us. Nobody cares.
Nobody
traded
cares.
To the Eagles. Lots of quarterback trades this year. Very interesting. None of them good players, but lots of them traded.
It's true.
Saquon Barkley to the Eagles.
Nope.
You don't. Shut up, Mike. Just for that, Mike, you're going first.
What? No, I don't want to go first.
Yeah, you have to.
Damn it. Pure pressure. Yeah, I think with Saquon, they're definitely going to have finally a back that's not just going to be one-dimensional like DeAndre Swift was last year, or just a runner like Miles Sanders in the years before. They have someone who can actually do both now. The only thing that is going to always be with Saquon Barkley is injury history. So I don't know if they're going to rely on him a lot, where they don't really have to, just because Jalen Hurts can run the ball so well. I don't know who are the backups there. I don't know, but
Probably Boston Scott and Kenneth as well.
If no. Boston Scott's not there anymore. He's he was a free agent this year.
Oh no.
I think,
let's see.
I'm not sure if game.
Oh my God! 49ers legend Tyrion Davis Price.
Hell yeah. God.
And Lou Nichols and Kenny Gainwell.
Okay, Gainwell's still there.
Yeah, Gainpoint.
Okay, so yeah, it'll be Gainwell will be behind him, and then they'll probably draft somebody on day three.
Yeah. Oh, and then another guy that OTC missed, Devontae Parker, is an Eagle.
Oh, I don't care.
I don't care either. But Saquon, where are we drafting Saquon? Top five?
Top five running backs or top five overall?
Running backs.
Because I was going to say, not top five overall. It's probably right on that edge. Yeah, I mean, there's not many that you would put ahead of him. McCaffrey, Gibbs, Robinson. That might be the only three for sure.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
One more time.
Top five for Saquon Barkley next year. Top five running backs,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think there's been a lot of people who haven't looked into the numbers talking about how Saquon Barkley is not going to get goal line carries because of, you know, Jalen Hurts. But they're forgetting, like, several things. One, Jason Kelsey's not there anymore.
Right.
I think
so,
the tush-push worked because of Jason Kelsey.
I mean, I think part of it has to do with Jalen Hurts, but it was mostly to do with Kelsey. So I think they'll probably still succeed more often than they don't with it, but it won't be infallible anymore.
It won't be a fait accompli. Like, it's not like first and goal at the one. It's like you might as well just put six on the board because it's going to be a tush push. Two, it's a much better team in Philadelphia than in New York. So not only is Saquon going to get goal line carries, he's also going to get goal line targets because they're – defenses are worried about Dallas Goedert and Devonta Smith and AJ Brown. And three, Saquon Barkley had fewer carries inside the five than DeAndre Swift did last year. DeAndre Swift had more opportunity to score touchdowns than Saquon Barkley did.
Wow. That's how bad the Giants were.
The Giants suck, dude. Saquon only had 8 carries inside the five. And Swift had 14.
Jeez.
Almost twice as many. So, yeah,
well, twice as many, almost as three times as many, right?
No.
We said 5 to 14, right?
8 to 14. 8 to 14.
Oh, 8 to 14.
8 to 14. Yeah, it might have been unclear. Yeah, no, 8 to 14. As I was like, Mike, what are you doing, man? That's not how math works.
I know math.
I'm good at math. All right. So Saquon Barkley, I think wheels up on Saquon Barkley for all of us. Real quick before we get to the Falcons. Have either of you seen the Arizona end zone Casita Garden Club thing that they're making next year?
No.
It absolutely rips. Hold on, check this out. They are putting in the end zone little houses, not like you can sleep in, but like primo, like club venues.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that kind of cool?
Right.
I think it's pretty cool. Okay.
You can get a burger and a beer and watch a football game.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk the Falcons. Let's start with the guys that probably don't matter. Charlie Warner.
No.
No.
Rondale Moore.
No.
No.
Darnell Mooney.
No.
Not for fantasy. No.
Yeah, I don't think he matters for fantasy. Because despite adding Kirk Cousins, it's a lot of mouths to feed and an offense that's going to run the ball a ton. Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. Do we care?
Yes.
Is this
hell yeah, we do.
Arguably the most impactful fantasy signing. Not for Kirk Cousins, but the jump up from Desmond Ridder to Kirk Cousins for everybody there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it makes Drake London viable again. Kyle Pitts viable again. And Bijan should get a few more targets here and there. So I think, yeah, good for the main skill players in the Atlanta offense for sure.
Yeah, I think it's great for Kyle Pitts. I think it's really good for Drake London. I mean, Kirk Cousins has been working with two targets basically his entire time in Minnesota, and he made him work both years. Like the entire time he was there, he had two elite fantasy producers in Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and then Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson.
Yeah,
they were all elite options as duos. So I think that that's a really great thing for them. And I don't think they're going to throw the ball as much as Kirk Cousins did in Minnesota, obviously. Mm-hmm. But Bijan Robinson's a hell of a player.
Yep.
I think it'll. Sure. I think it makes it really nice that Kirk Cousins is going to have that like Dalvin Cook type guy where he can just like dump it off, and he'll do the hard part for a 75-yard touchdown again.
Right. I mean, I think this is definitely a good situation for Cousins to go into in the twilight of his career like this. You know, I think you can reasonably expect him to produce at about 85 to 90% of the level that you were getting from him in Minnesota. So instead of like a QB 7-8, he's more of like a fringe QB 1. But I still think he's top 12, I would say.
He's probably going to be my favorite guy to get in two QB leagues next year.
I mean, it'll depend on where he's going.
Yeah. All right, Mike, what are your thoughts on Kirk Cousins to the Falcons for what might be the rest of his career?
Yeah, probably will be. I think it's great for the Falcons receivers. You know, this will be a great test for Kyle Pitts to see whether he's actually going to be something or just a bust, really. And then, as you guys mentioned, Drake London, that's going to really be beneficial as well. So I think that you could definitely raise the stock rate in both Pitts. I think Pitts is finally going to do something, and as well as Drake London.
Will Kyle Pitts do something that he's never done before? Be worth his ADP.
Yeah, right. I think so. I think this is the year, finally.
I think we could see 900, I think 1,007.
Ooh, that would be a great year.
I think for London?
No, for Pitts.
I would say, well, he had 1,000 his rookie season.
That's exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I think you can reasonably expect probably the best season of his career. I mean, I think we tend to forget that he did produce as a young player, and that he, you know, he did deal with an injury last season. I understand that at some point he's got to be more consistent, but I think that the talent is there, and I think that he's got a quarterback who's going to be willing to throw in the ball when he's open. So plus he's not going to have a weirdly, you know, like an offensive coordinator that makes everything way too complicated.
You mean he's not going to have an offensive coordinator who's going to have Kyle Pitts on the sideline while Jonnu Smith throws to whoever their tight end three was?
Michael Pruitt.
Yeah, Michael Pruitt. Yeah.
No, he's not going to be doing stuff like that. So, I mean, I think with Pitts, he's never going to be, I think, like a 90 catch guy necessarily, because he's more of an athletic, like deep threat at the tight end position. You know, if you play Madden, he's the vertical threat tight end. So I would figure he probably ends up with more than 4 catches, but less than 5 per game. So like 75 for 10.50 and half a dozen.
10.5 for 10.50 and half. Yeah, that's about where I had him.
And I think that probably is a... That's probably what, like tight end 4, tight end 5?
Yeah, I mean, he'll be a top 5 guy for sure. But, I mean, top, I'd say top 7 for sure, but yeah, top 5. So here's something interesting.
Okay.
Here are, since over the last 20 seasons, so since 2000, rookies starting in 2003, here are the tight ends who have at least 2,000 yards in their first 3 seasons. And tell me if you think this bodes well for Kyle Pitts going forward. Jason Witten.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Gates.
Okay.
Kellen Winslow.
Okay.
Zach Miller.
Okay.
Jimmy Graham.
Nice.
Rob Gronkowski.
It's a good one, yeah.
Zach Ertz.
Okay.
George Kittle.
All right.
Mark Andrews.
Mm.
Wow.
And Kyle Pitts.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty damn good. I mean, if your worst case scenario is Zach Miller.
Yeah.
I mean,
tight end 8, Zach Miller.
Right. Zach Miller, who like at 30 years old, coming off a broken leg, was still a fantasy producer for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or Kellen Winslow, I guess, you know, not personally.
Well, let's not go
course.
Worst case scenario.
Not personally, of course. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But no, I mean, I think, you know, Pitts is still, he's clearly still talented. He's clearly got the best quarterback of his career by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly not being replaced. Like, I don't think that, you know, Darnell Mooney is going to come in and have a higher share of the offense than Kyle Pitts. I just don't think that's going to happen. So I foresee Pitts having a very solid season as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, and here's another thing, too. Kyle Pitts is going to be 24. He is a baby.
Still very young.
Yeah. There are only 3 guys in the history of the NFL with more than 2,000 yards in their first 3 seasons from ages 21 to 23. I know it sounds very specific, but to say that to produce this young, Kyle Pitts, Jason Witten, and Rob Gronkowski. I think this guy's the limit for Kyle Pitts now that he has a real functional quarterback.
I hope so.
And Raheem Morris said it. Like, he's like, I wouldn't be here if we had a good quarterback. Didn't you see that?
I think I remember that now, yeah, but it's just funny.
Yeah, he's like, they wouldn't have fired the other guy if we had competent quarterback play. So, Desmond Ritter, get out. All right, ready to move on? Anything else with the Falcons?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I hope Kirk Cousins has a nice end of his career so I can stop using the Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers as an archetype of fantasy quarterback.
you can use a different right wing weirdo.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just like that hasn't been true in what, like 5 years, where those guys were just like, you take them at.
Yeah, now it's the Cousins Stafford tier.
Yeah, Cousins Stafford, much less problematic tier, although maybe not for Kirk Cousins, although maybe not for Mrs. Stafford either.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Giants. Drew Lock.
No.
Although I think he starts at least 4 games next year.
Probably.
He might.
Isaiah McKenzie. I'm doing the vest put on thing that.
Oh yeah.
Locked in.
Yes. No.
Isaiah McKenzie.
No.
Mike. Here's Mike's boy, Chris Manhurts. I know he matters.
Manhurts.
From Canisius.
Right. Jack Stoll. None of these guys matter.
No.
Devin Singletary, back in the Brian Daboll offense. I already made my thoughts known about this.
I mean,
when I said he should go to the Brian Daboll offense.
I think I'll probably leave this one to you guys. I care the least.
I'm trying to think of a good comp for him in like recent seasons about where I see him. How about this? Old Bills running back, Devin Singletary. I kind of see him being a lot of the same that he was with.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't really see the upside, I guess.
Yeah, he's fine. I think the thing is he's fine.
Yeah, he's definitely a dead zone running back again.
Yeah, I think he's the type of guy. I think he's also an Akash meme guy.
Yeah, I mean, he'll play well when he's in there, but he's just not that explosive. It's not that good of an offensive line. You know, he's going to get 15 touches a game for 75 yards and score like 9 touchdowns. So, you know, he'll be running back 19 or something.
Okay. How about this? What do you think about this for a stat line? 819 receiving yards, 819 rushing yards, 280 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns on about 220 touches.
Is that his stat line from the last year he was with the Bills?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be Devin Singletary again.
Pretty much.
It's the best comp we have. I mean, it was a similar offense. It's obviously worse, but he's also higher up the pecking order in this group of skill players. So, yeah. I mean, going out on a limb,
Devin Singletary comp, Devin Singletary.
Well, I mean, Devin Singletary has been in the league for 5 seasons. He has scored between 171 and 226 fantasy points every season.
That's yeah.
And his rankings have been 35, 31, 20, 23, and 32. So he's probably going to finish somewhere between 20 and 35.
Woo! So he's like classic dead zone guy.
He's a dead zone guy. It's just the fact of the matter is that he's like a better player than most of the dead zone guys, but the offense he's in isn't going to allow him to be a top 15 running back.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Jags. Mac Jones traded to the Jags.
I kind of forgot that happened.
Quarterback controversy?
Uh-oh.
I don't care.
No, nobody should care. Gabe Davis to the Bills. I think this is very interesting. I care only in so much as there's going to be targets to go around. I think he's going to be overdrafted just because everybody's going to be like, it's the classic like MVS thing when he went from the
From Aaron Rodgers to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, from Aaron Rodgers to Patrick Mahomes. They're like, here we go. And it's like, oh, so he's going from Josh Allen to Trevor Lawrence. Like, you really think that that's a step up?
He's going to a worse quarterback.
Yeah. So
it's like, I get that, like, Christian Kirk isn't as good as Stephon Diggs, but he's still better than Gabe Davis.
Exactly.
And Evan Engram is also better than Gabe Davis. And exactly. Travis Etienne is also better than Gabe Davis.
That is correct.
So, and they might even draft a receiver who's better than Gabe Davis. I mean, Gabe Davis is the same guy he's always been. He's not going to be consistently fantasy relevant.
But he's better than Tank Bigsby?
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly, you hit the nail on the head, Walker, where this matters to me because now I don't have to think about Gabe Davis because people are going to get super excited. It's going to be new toy syndrome and they're going to overdraft him.
Yeah, he'll be a top 30 receiver in drafts probably, and there's no reason for that.
Yeah. Mike, your thoughts on Gabe Davis? Mike's like, I love Gabe Davis. I hate you guys.
Gabe Davis is a stud, especially.
Get out of here.
In weeks 1 and then 8 and then 13.
As long as you, okay, if you take the games where he has at least 200 yards, okay, just those games, and you prorate those over 17 games, holy shit, dude. That's a 3,400 yard receiver right there.
I mean, Gabe Davis is a, he will always be a best ball king, but in leagues where you set your lineups, you just can't trust him.
Yeah. Don't forget, he had, 4 games with 0 points last year?
Yeah. Sometimes he's just out there to block.
Yeah. And you know what? That's something that I don't think people realize is that sometimes he's out there just to block. So, all righty.
Devin Duvernay.
No, don't care. No. Tyrod Taylor to the Jets.
No.
No.
Josh Jacobs.
He ends up starting games due to a Rodgers injury or like abdication of responsibility in some way. I'm not even going to specify it because I can't, you know, you never know with him.
He becomes the 4th-hour host of InfoWars.
Yeah, it could be anything. I don't think Taylor would be fantasy relevant in that offense. There's not enough weapons.
He joins Tom DeLonge's UFO organization.
That would be about as innocent as it could possibly be.
He tracks down the folks who were really behind January 6th.
No, I think he'd probably start doing like the anti-pedophile rings.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. He's going to go on Patriot Soapbox. That's a real deep cut.
Yep.
That's some QAA nonsense. All right. Josh Jacobs to the Packers. I care.
Yeah. Yes. I care because they did Aaron Jones dirty.
Yeah, they did Aaron Jones dirty. And then I figure, here are my thoughts on Josh Jacobs. He's going to be 85% of what Aaron Jones was before last year. So running back 13.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Same run pass mix and everything.
Yeah.
And then
they
re-signed AJ Dillon, didn't they, as well?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be really funny when Josh Jacobs has like a 3-week injury and they have to go back to AJ Dillon again. You know, crawling back to AJ Dillon, begging him to play running back for us. Please get me 3.6 yards a carry again.
I'm already going to make the you couldn't live with your failure. And where did that bring you back to me?
Yes.
With AJ Dillon as Thanos. but yeah, I think Josh, I mean, he's a high quality running back who we have a test case of the team using a multifaceted running back like Josh Jacobs in the recent past with Aaron Jones.
Yeah, it's just Aaron Jones is more explosive, and so he would have a little bit more yards and maybe a couple more touchdowns. And so,
yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah, Josh Jacobs has a chance to be a top 10 running back. He won't be top 5, and if he stays healthy, he won't finish outside the top 15. So he's a good, stable, like, round 2 pick.
Yeah, I think if you go, like...
Round 2 end, round 3 start. If you're getting him around there, you're doing well.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you start your draft with, like, CeeDee Lamb, so you pick like 2 or 3 and you take CeeDee Lamb, I think Josh Jacobs on the comeback is the perfect guy for you to take there.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. That makes sense to me.
Okie dokie. Deontay Johnson to the Panthers. Gross.
Mike's boy from last year.
Deontay. Yeah, can Deontay Johnson do well with a bad quarterback? Just like Chex notes his entire career.
Kenny Pickett. Yeah.
At the end of
old Ben Roethlisberger.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph too.
Mason Rudolph, yeah. I mean, gross.
Not good.
Yeah, so I think
He also had Duck Hodges.
Oh yeah, Duck. I forgot Duck Hodges existed. What's his first name? Merrill? No.
Devlin.
Who's Merrill Hodge? Merrill Hodge is a commentator.
That's the old fullback who's the commentator.
Yeah.
Everybody's using the fact that he was correct about Johnny Manziel to be like, this man's concerns about Caleb Williams should be taken seriously.
And damn, like, that's crazy.
That's crazy that you were right about the most obvious bust in NFL history.
Dang, the guy who didn't take football seriously at all didn't do well in the highest level of competition.
That's
dang,
wild.
Merrill Hodge. Let me see that crystal ball. How'd you do that?
Unbelievable stuff. Mike, do you care about Deontay Johnson?
I just don't see an avenue of really high success with that offense.
He's a volume based PPR wide receiver 3 flex guy. Like that's all he is.
You know what his like top end outcome is? Basically what Adam Thielen did this year.
Yeah. But, like, he won't fall off because he's not 600 years old like Adam Thielen.
Right. I mean, here, let me look. What did Adam Thielen do last year? Exactly. 103 catches for 1,014 yards and 4 touchdowns.
He had 1,000 yards?
Bless you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah, I mean, it's a little more crowded this year, but I could see, like, 90 for 1,006 for Deontay Johnson.
Okay, I'll take it. Like, that's like a wide receiver 3. That's like the guy that you're just like, well, crap, I need to have this guy around for bye weeks, and I'll probably cut him
right.
In 13.
Because he's on Carolina, like, he'll probably get, overlooked a little bit. You know, I doubt he'll be in the top 36 receivers, but he probably is going to finish a top 36 receiver.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, okay? I'm going to take down the timestamp here, okay? Because I think we're not giving Deontay Johnson his due. I think that he will not have fewer touchdowns than he had in 2022.
when he had zero.
Correct.
It's a bold take, Jeff.
Thank you. He will have at least zero touchdowns this year.
Yeah,
Mike, I'll bet you $1 million he'll have at least zero.
He'll go back to what he did in, 2022 with zero touchdowns?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's
definitely the clear outlier. He's had at least five touchdowns every year of his career, except that one.
Me betting that DeAndre Johnson will get at least one touchdown and sweating it until week 14, though.
That'd be really funny. That would be very funny. I mean, Johnson, look, he's got 680 or more receiving yards in every year of his career. He's got at least 87 targets in every year of his career. He's had 639 targets in his five seasons. I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's kind of a rookie or a young quarterback's best friend type guy where he just gets open underneath all the time because he's really quick. And I think he probably is the best receiver they have right now. I mean, I think he's better than old Adam Thielen. And they don't have anybody else, do they? I mean, they brought in Mike Williams for a visit, but that hasn't nothing's materialized there.
They might get Michael Gallup.
I don't care.
They have Terrace Marshall.
Yeah, Jonathan, they haven't signed Mingo. Anybody else. Yeah, yeah, those guys all suck. So
Amir
Smith
Marset.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's gonna be
bad.
It's gonna be Deontay probably as the number one receiver, and so he'll get, you know, he'll probably end up with like 140 targets, and he'll catch like 80 of them for 900 some yards and five or six touchdowns, and he'll be wide receiver 32.
Yep.
And everybody's going to be posting about his target per route run data, despite the fact that Bryce Young can't throw an accurate football to save his life.
Yeah, Bryce Young's not great.
He's not good, folks. All right. The Patriots. Jake Brisket. Do we care?
No.
No, because even if he gets starts, this offense is not going to be very good.
No, I think he's only there. The thing that young coaches coming off of the shadow of a established coach do, which is bring in a guy who will continue that tradition. Because Jake Brisket was with the Patriots.
Yeah,
you know, several years ago. Yeah.
He knows the deal. He's still a stable backup.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if he has to play, he'll do perfectly fine. But I still think they're going to draft whoever the top quarterback at three is.
Yeah, so May or Daniels.
Yeah, probably Daniels.
Yeah. Mike, you said you don't care. Austin Hooper?
Nope.
In the Logan Thomas role?
Austin, why would it be in a Logan Thomas role? Oh,
because I saw Commanders with Antonio Gibson. My brain broke. Austin Hooper in the...
Mike Gesicki role?
Mike Gesicki role? the Johnny Smith role?
Yeah. No. 30-year-old Austin Hooper, no, thank you. Hunter Henry is going to be the clear number one anyway.
In the who are those tight ends they drafted a few years ago?
Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi.
Yeah,
Asiasi
in the Dalton Keene role, in the Asiasi role.
He's not going to be very involved. Tell you that much.
In the Aaron Hernandez role.
Oh, hold on.
Ooh, that's a killer prospect right there. All right, Antonio Gibson, RB1. Let's go.
Antonio Gibson, yeah. Do I care? A little.
I care! Ramondre and Gibson on the same offense?
I know, this is Jeff Catnip.
Jeff Catnip.
Jeff's dancing in his seat.
Let's go! No, I think Gibson's going to be like running back like 42.
Yeah, it's usually what he is. So.
Yeah, so I don't care.
And also if they get Jaden Daniels is never going to dump off. He's just gonna
I know! Run. That's the problem. They get Jaden Daniels. That's a problem for Ramondre, too.
Yes, yep. That's true.
Yeah. So he'll continue his evolution into just being LeGarrette Blount from that one year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just running the football 300 times and getting 1,600 yards and 12 touchdowns. Actually, I think he had 14 that year. All right. Let's talk about the Raiders. Gardner Minshew from Mike's Colts to the Raiders. They cut Jimmy G. I care just because he's marginally better than AOC, and it matters for Devontae Adams. I think we talked about Gardner Minshew in this way before. We talked about somebody in this way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Gardner Minshew is not going to have like a sudden Baker Mayfield like resurgence in value. No. he's, you know, Minshew is a guy you maybe draft as your QB2 if you're desperate.
Yeah. I mean, let's be clear here. If Gardner Minshew had Case Keenum's personality, nobody would care.
No, he's just a guy. I mean, he's fine. Yeah. He'll probably start quite a few games, and he'll have a few where it's fantasy relevant because they play bad defense. But yeah, I mean, he's a streamer quarterback. He's just there.
He's going to go all the way off because Davante Adams gets like 11 catches for 135 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you think?
No, I don't really care about Gardner Minshew. I think he's going to finish anywhere between QB 15 to 20.
I think 15 might be a little generous. I think he's probably 18 to 20, but I'm in the same ballpark as you, Mike.
I wouldn't put him in my top 20.
I think he'll run a little bit, and so that'll put him in the top 20.
Raiders also signed Alexander Mattison today, so I don't know if that...
Oh, yeah, that didn't make the document. So Alexander Mattison...
I don't care about that either.
He sucks.
Zamir White, almost assuredly better.
Also, Zamir White sucks.
I don't know about that.
He's not great.
I think Zamir White is fine.
He made the classic mistake that every guy going from a backup to a starting role does, which is he bulked up like crazy this offseason.
Oh.
That's a problem.
I'm not a fan of that.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not a fan of? Harrison Bryant. Don't give a shit.
Don't care. Mike, do you care?
Do not care.
Colby Parkinson to the Rams.
Nope.
No.
Replacing Hate Crime Higbee. Here we go. Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens. The thing everybody saw coming for 6 months after the Ravens tried to trade for him. I care because Gus Edwards had like 12 touchdowns last year. And what if Gus Edwards was good? That's Derrick Henry this year.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, Derrick Henry's going to run like, I mean, what is he going to get? Maybe 12, 13 carries a game. So he's going to have like 210 carries for 1,000 yards and 14 touchdowns.
Yep. Running back 14.
Yeah, he's going to be a fringe RB1 because he's Derrick Henry. I mean, he's not the same guy he used to be, but he can still hold up in a smaller role. He showed it last year on the Titans. He was, you know, even in points per game, he was top 18. In a smaller role on a bad offense. So he's going to be in a smaller role on a better offense this year. I think top 12 is definitely possible.
I think what'll be very interesting also is something that I haven't heard a lot of people talk a lot about. And it's that where's Derrick Henry best? When he's running downhill, when he's got a head of steam, right? So if you get your linebackers to like shoot the gaps and to like close the holes where he can't get a head of steam going, then that's a problem.
Yep.
And the easiest way to offset that is a running quarterback where you create a mesh point where you're not sure what's going to happen. And that holds the linebackers. So you could make Derrick Henry just 15% better than he was in Tennessee just at the end of his run in Tennessee, just by having Lamar Jackson be his quarterback, because you do a couple read options and that's going to hold the linebackers just for that split second to get Derrick Henry more headroom.
And even if Henry's not ripping off, I mean, we both agree he's probably not ripping off 90-yard runs anymore.
No.
But
he can still get some head of steam going, run over a linebacker, and get a dozen yards on a play that most running backs would get 5.
He's still 6'9", 900 pounds. He's still big. He's still a big guy. He can still run through people.
He's a big man.
He is a big man. All right, Mike, how do you feel about Mr. Derrick Henry on the Ravens?
Yeah, he's lost a step, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially at 30 years old. But it's a great fit for Baltimore, as you mentioned, Jeff, with Gus Edwards. We saw what he did. Now, obviously, with Derrick Henry being better, you know, are we going to see multiple, you know, digit touchdowns? It's very possible. But with Lamar Jackson running as much, he's definitely going to take away from the carrying attempts that Derrick Henry has. So I think you guys pretty much know that between RB12 and 15.
All right. Hold on real quick. Let me do my impression of every ding dong on Twitter that got obsessed with like 4 runs last year. What about Keaton Mitchell when he's back from injury?
Oh yeah. Keaton Mitchell. That's stud.
Shut up.
Yeah. If you think Keaton Mitchell is a serious threat to Derrick Henry's touches, then you should stop playing fantasy football.
You don't know ball.
That's correct.
Yeah, no, everybody's got obsessed because Keaton Mitchell had like 4 big carries last year. Guess what, folks? He's not that great.
Keaton Mitchell, handshake meme, Jaleel McLaughlin.
Handshake meme, Anton Smith.
Jaleel McLaughlin in that range. I think Keaton Mitchell's a little better than that, but he's still not that good.
Alrighty. Let's talk about the Seahawks.
Sam Howell. Probably not for long.
What?
Probably not for long.
Sam Howell.
No.
Nope.
Only if they trade up to get Neighbors and then run Forverts. And then
also Geno Smith dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, if they run Forverts, that's a Sam Howell offense right there.
Yeah, but there's literally no scenario he's beating out Geno.
Have you considered YOLO?
No. Only live
once, Walker. All right, don't care. Farrell Brown, also don't care.
No.
Nope.
Justin Fields traded to the Steelers to be the backup?
Apparently. He'll probably start at some point during the season, but I mean, it's not going to be better or worse than what it has been before. He'll be fantasy relevant as a streamer because he runs a lot.
Yeah. And like, all right, let me ask you this. Is there a chance that he takes over for Russell Wilson if Russell Wilson doesn't get hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
If Russ stinks, then yeah.
Yeah. If he stinks or if the Steelers stink, then, yeah, either way, I could see Fields getting the starting nod.
I think that Justin Fields is going to end up on a lot of my rosters as a stash candidate next year, just because he's going to be so cheap as the backup. And if something happens to Russ or if Russ gets benched, he's instantly a top 8 guy.
I am Justin Fields as your QB3 on your best ball teams.
Yes.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff right there. Gonna go Justin Fields, Gardner Minshew, and Kirk Cousins on my best ball teams. Let's go.
Mm. Hell yeah.
Mm. And that will probably be the winner of the million.
Yeah, that's right, baby. Because I get all those guys in round 6, 9, and 14.
Nice.
All right. Joe Mixon to the Tejans.
You know what I think?
Noise?
You know what Devin Singletary was doing at the end of last season when he was RB18? That's Joe Mixon now.
Yeah. Mike, do you concur?
18? I think he's better than that.
I cannot believe we have a Joe Mixon truther on the podcast.
Mike loves Joe Mixon.
I love Joe Mixon. Bring it. Just because he can catch the ball, where Singletary is not a pass catcher. So I think he'll add to that. And then in second year of what's the quarterback?
Stroud.
Stroud, thank you. Is going to be even better. So this offense is, I like it. Do I see him being in the top 12? No, I see him more like RB round Derrick Henry range, RB 14, 12 to 14.
Yeah, I think there's also one thing with Joe Mixon that we have to consider here, which is, they aren't going to turn the volume all the way over to him,
right?
Like, I mean, it's not going to be Damian Pierce, because Damian Pierce sucks.
Yeah.
But the, you know, Joe Mixon isn't a spring chicken anywhere. He's like, what, 28? Yeah, so he's getting,
and he's
up
got a
there.
Lot of tread on the tires too.
Exactly. He's the Bengals spent his entire career just racking up as many touches as humanly possible on his body. And then they cast him off to the Texans. Like, they literally cut him, and the Texans were like, whoa, don't throw that away.
Yeah, we'll trade you a 7th-round pick for the guarantee that he's on our team.
Yeah, don't throw that away. We'll take him. And that's, I mean, that bodes well for his value to the Texans, but that doesn't bode well for what people think about him.
Like, right, I mean, it's, I think Mixon will be, I don't know, he's another year older, so he'll probably be like 90% of what he was in, 85% of what he was in Cincinnati, which was like a fringe RB1. So yeah, I think he's a mid-tier RB2.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think here. Like, have we seen this before, where a guy who was a top 15 based purely on volume changed teams late in his career and just fell off the map?
I mean, I have no idea. I don't even know how I would search for that.
I don't either. I'm just trying. My first instinct was Matt Forte, but he didn't reach the Jets till he was 31, so that doesn't really apply. He had kind of slipped off by that point anyways, and he was also a better player than Joe Mixon was. I'm trying to think. Frank Gore was good for a while after he left.
He was like 32 when he left.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of guys that left in, you know, Joe Mixon range. DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, DeMarco Murray kind of fits that mold.
He was better than Mixon, though, I think.
Yeah, let's see. DeMarco Murray. Yeah, I forgot about the 2,200-yard season.
Yeah.
Where he was offensive player of the year. That's so funny, dude.
Yeah. He was pretty – even with Tennessee at 28 years old, 1,287 yards and 9 touchdowns.
At Tennessee. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean –
yeah, his one year with Philly
was a disappointment. His last year in Tennessee, he ceded a bunch of touches to Henry. And his first couple of years in Dallas, he wasn't the lead back either. I think that was Darren McFadden.
Yeah.
I mean, then he takes over in Dallas and he has almost 3,000 rushing yards in two seasons. And then after a weird year with Philly where he doesn't really even start, he goes to Tennessee and he's immediately again a Pro Bowler.
Yeah. Also, we were wrong. He did take the lead in his first couple of years in Dallas, but he split with Felix Jones.
Oh, okay.
What about Priest Holmes?
Did Priest Holmes switch teams?
Yeah, he went.
Where'd he go?
He went from, I think, Kansas City to Baltimore.
No, the other way around. Baltimore to Kansas City. He did the opposite, Mike. He switched. Oh, my God. Yeah, what if Joe Mixon is Priest Holmes? Or Priest Holmes in his age 28, 29 seasons, 2,169 yards, 10 touchdowns, 2,287 yards, 24 touchdowns.
And then 2,110 yards.
And 27 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Guess who had Priest Holmes that year in his first year playing fantasy football?
I'm assuming it was Jeff Crisco.
That was Jeff Crisco, and I pooped my pants.
And then after that, he had a total of like 1,400 rushing yards the rest of his career.
Yeah. Well, he hurt his spine.
Yeah. What about Clinton Portis?
Portis did pretty well when he got traded.
Let's see. Portis.
From Washington to Denver.
Other way around, but yeah.
Denver to Washington.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Well, I keep flipping these teams.
Yeah.
Geez, Denver. Clinton Portis is a 21-year-old rookie, had 1,508 rushing yards, 15 touchdowns. And 33 catches for 364 yards and 2 more touchdowns.
That's crazy. This Clinton Portis guy, he might be good.
Yeah, 6 of his first 7 seasons, he had over 1,200 rushing yards.
That's nuts.
That is crazy.
Let's get back to guys who have played football in the last 10 years.
Okay. Joe Mixon's not going to be any of those guys because he's not as good as them.
No.
The reason why we can't think of a comparable for Joe Mixon is because he probably is going to ride off into the sunset fairly soon. You all know how I feel about him. I won't have him on my teams anyway, but he's probably going to be a pretty average value in drafts.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay. Like, he'll be fine. Like, you fall back on him and you're going to pass up on a guy who's going to finish as like a top 14.
Right. I mean, like, you can get Joe Mixon or you can get David Montgomery.
Yeah, I'll just get David Montgomery. He's not a bad person. All right.
And you just less risk too.
Yeah. Titans. They signed Mason Rudolph.
Don't care.
He will start at least 4 games next year.
No, he won't.
Yes, he will.
No, he won't.
Because Will Levis sucks too. Calvin Ridley. I do not care because he's 30 and this entire team is garbage.
What did Calvin Ridley ended up doing last year? He had over 1,000 yards.
Well, because he had like 250 in one game.
Did he actually?
The first game, I think he had. Yeah. He won.
Yeah. So let's see. Calvin Ridley last year, he had in 2023, Calvin Ridley had 1,039 total yards, 8 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And he had he had 101 yards in his first game, 122 yards in his fifth game, and 103 yards in his 10th game. And then those were his only games over 100 yards till week 18. So he was very up and down. 101, yeah. 32, 40, 38, 122, 35, 83, 20.
I think he probably settles in around like somewhere between where he was last year, 136 targets, 76 catches. and his Atlanta years, where he had 92 and 93 targets and 64 and 63 catches. So maybe like 70 for 906. So, I mean,
like a Williams season?
Yeah, I would imagine he's probably going to go higher than that, so I'm not interested.
Yeah, I think he's going to go higher than that. But, I mean, I like that as my third wide receiver in, like, a Mike Williams sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're getting Calvin Ridley outside of the top 30 receivers, I think it's a good bet. But if you're drafting him at, like, wide receiver 25, then there's no real room for profit there.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I even have him even lower than that. I think that with the quarterback situation, with unless Will Levis actually becomes falls into his skills, and which I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I think he'll get better, but that he just makes way too many mistakes, and it's just going to limit Calvin Ridley quite a bit. And you got DeAndre Hopkins there, and so I have him like wide receiver 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Ridley, the thing is, like, Will Levis can support two top 36 receivers, but there's no way he can support two top 24 receivers, and DeAndre Hopkins is probably going to be top 24 because he's still quite good. So Ridley's just, he's not going to be. It's not going to happen. He's not as good as DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, his ceiling is wide receiver, like, 28, and then his floor is in the 40s. So if you're getting him in the 40s, I think that's fine. You can go for that. You can go for that. But if you're drafting him like top 35, I don't, you know, what's the point?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the Titans. I'm sorry, to Tony Pollard on the Titans. I don't care because the Titans offensive line was terrible last year and they've got Cushenberry.
And he's pretty good.
I mean, yeah.
He's a lot better than the guy they had before, Aaron Brewer.
Yeah, but they were literally the worst offensive line in the NFL by PFF grade last year. So, like, they're going to move up to, like, 20th.
I also think they're going to draft one of the tackles at 7. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to go from really bad to, like, below average, which will help, but it's not going to be amazing. I mean, I feel like Pollard and Spears are going to end up being, like, Pollard 55%, Spears 45%, and their efficiency numbers will be quite similar, I feel like.
So, it's going to be like Javonte's first year with Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, pretty much, except not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figure it's going to be like they'll run for about 100 a game, and it'll be like 900 yards for Pollard and 800 yards for Spears, and neither of them end up super fantasy relevant. Like, it's kind of like what the Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren situation was last year, where they're both like...
Yeah. But
fringe RB2s.
They're like between Najee and Jaylen Warren and Javonte and Melvin Gordon in terms of like where I see them finishing. Because I don't think that, you know, I think Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris was kind of a stunted thing. I think that Javonte was a little bit more explosive. I don't know. It's gonna be a messy room.
We're on the Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, what was the other one?
Najee
Warren. Yeah, we're on the Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren spectrum.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, I think Tony Pollard. I mean, Tony Pollard or Devin Singletary.
I go with Devin Singletary.
Singletary.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's like Tony Pollard or guy we just tore apart, Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon.
Yeah, probably
I would go Mixon too. I mean, Tony Pollard, you're looking at
Tony Pollard or Javonte Williams.
Javonte.
I might go with Pollard, but that's because I'm a Javonte hater.
I'm a Javonte hater too. But Tyjae Spears or Tony Pollard.
Pollard, I'll say.
I'm gonna go Tyjae. All right. Sam Darnold to the Vikings. Do we care?
Nope.
Kinda. I mean, not really. I don't think Sam Darnold's any good, but he's a little better than Nick Mullins. And Nick Mullins had success, you know, being a streamer when he was playing in this offense with all these weapons. So I think if Darnold is the starter at the start of the season, you can get a few cheap weeks out of him where he's like a fringe top 12 quarterback.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay. I think that
like for real, like for real football, no, he's not good enough and they're going to be pretty bad. But
no,
for fantasy football, he could, you know, over a 4-week stretch, he could be like the QB9.
Does he damage Justin Jefferson? Is Justin Jefferson still wide receiver one? I think it's CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, I think Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in football.
Oh, sure.
And I think he's definitely still the dynasty wide receiver one. But yeah, in redraft, I think you can definitely justify taking Lamb over him. I wouldn't say anybody else, but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of a close cluster at the top. Like, I feel like your top three are Lamb, Jefferson, and Chase, in my opinion.
Yeah, or and Tyreek Hill gets close.
Right, Tyreek is in his 30s now, but he's still very good.
And then you get Sun God Puka.
Amon-Ra, yeah, Puka, A.J. Brown. Then you're starting to fall out of that tier.
Yeah. All right, Mike, Sam Darnold, Vikings,
no.
Do you care?
No.
All right, Aaron Jones from the Packers to the Vikings, do you care?
Yeah.
I don't.
I do. I mean, he's clearly the best running back on the team. I mean, and until they show any willingness to go to anybody else, Ty Chandler is going to be a bit player in comparison to Aaron Jones. And they probably will draft a running back on day three, but that's also not a guy who's going to threaten Aaron Jones' status as the lead back here. I know he's 30 years old. I know that he can't hold up to a full workload anymore. But I think when he plays, he's still explosive enough, especially in an offense where you can't put the focus on him. You know, their offensive line is pretty decent. It's about the same as what the Packers was. So it's not like he's going to like a decrepit offense that can't block for him. I think he'll be solid. You know, I think he will have his games where he blows up and has, multiple touchdowns and 30 fantasy points. And he'll also have games where he just doesn't touch the ball enough to necessarily be super effective. He's not really involved in the game. But I think he can give you like three quarters of what you've been getting out of Aaron Jones. So instead of running back 10, he's running back 20. Like, yeah, I'd say he's just above the dead zone for me.
Yeah, I think running back 20, but I feel like his arrow's pointed in the wrong direction with that running back 20, right?
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, I think his best days are behind him, certainly. But I still think he's good enough to be, you know, I think he's better than, like, Tyjae Spears or Jaylen Warren.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
I mean, some of the other guys we talked about in this. Who are some of the other guys we talked about here? Like, he's better than, he'll be better than Austin Ekeler.
Oh, for sure.
And I think he'll be better than DeAndre Swift, too.
Probably. Okay, Mike, your thoughts on Aaron Jones?
I mean, Alexander Mattison finished RB36 last year with the Vikings. So I think to me, it's just going to be a matter of health for Aaron Jones, who's struggled with that quite a bit. And sure, he's 30 years old. So if he can stay healthy, I could see him finishing anywhere between RB 20 to 24.
Okay. So Mike's nice. The high guy on Aaron Jones. Mike loves Aaron Jones.
Well, I said RB 20.
Okay. So maybe I just hate Aaron Jones.
That's weird.
I think
Jeff is like protecting himself by being like, I'm going to get out a year early on Aaron Jones so he never hurts me.
That's right. I'm wondering, I'm trying to figure out when to pull that ripcord on Alvin Kamara too. I think that might be coming as well.
I think it's this year, dude. I think you need to, I would be getting out on Alvin Kamara before Aaron Jones, honestly. I think it's over.
I think that Alvin Kamara will still get a zillion targets and that's the only thing.
Yeah, yeah. Kamara will be like decently productive this year, but I think the efficiency is gone.
I mean, yeah. I mean, at this point, you're using Kamara because he has that like 10 target game upside.
Right. I mean, he's like faster Austin Ekeler now, where he's a pass catching specialist that can still make moves out in space, but he's lost the top end speed that made him explosive.
Yeah. So, alrighty. I think that'll do it. So, dogs are ringing the bells to be let out to go potty. So I gotta go. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Football Absurdity Podcast. We will be back next week to talk rookie running backs. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
We are only doing one running back episode. I will not Correct. Do two episodes of this.
Correct. So for Mike
Horror, Walker, baby, yeah.
And nobody else, Braylon Allen. For Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.